Flip Cars, Super Late Models, Thunder Cars, Modifieds, World of Outlaws, Archives, all here. Welcome to Race Time Radio. Covering dirt to asphalt. On races, fame, short tracks. All the way to the high-banked oval. This is Race Time Radio.
Come on now,
your host, live from the Racetime Radio Studio, it's Smokin' Joe Chisholm.
Excellent, buddy, excellent.
Well, pitter-patter, let's get at her. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Racetime Radio, our two-hour weekly get-together here on Sirius XM Channel 167. And on racetimeradio.com, I am Joe Chisholm, along with Junior, right here in the RTR studio. And we got a stacked lineup tonight, Junior.
Yeah, we're going to have to be quick. There's no dilly-dallying around tonight. We're going to be jumping from guest to guest like we're chickens with our heads cut off. But it's definitely going to be a heck of a show. You could tell racing season is back. And we're just a few weeks away from everything being fired up, but lots of cool stuff to talk about tonight.
Let me tell you exactly who we've got coming on this show tonight. And when I say stacked, I mean stacked. Today, you probably watched the ARCA Menards series. Today was live on MAV TV. If you haven't got your MAV TV hooked up yet, you better get her done. But MAV TV had the ARCA race on, and it was Michael Self going to Victory Lane in his number 25 Venturini Sinclair Toyota. And we are going to kick the show off with Michael Self here tonight. We'll also hear from about the driver of the number 32 Pro Stock all the way out on Canada's East Coast. We got Chris Hughes going to stop on by. And then we're going to get all the way out to the Rocks, so a little further east. Well, put it this way, the furthest east you can go in Canada before you're really going to get wet. We got Phil Fowler going to stop on by the show. He drives a late model sportsman at Eastbound International Speedway. And, of course, everybody at Eastbound's getting all cranked up and ready to go for the season. Phil's got some real cool sponsorship on his car, and we're going to catch up with him tonight and see how he's making out. Then, in hour number two, we're going to hear from Donald Tige. Boursville, Quebec is where Donald is from. This weekend, he was at Richmond International Speedway driving that number 36 Xfinity car and did a whale of a job. Come on, with a 25th place finish, and I believe that was Donald's like third appearance in the Xfinity series. We're going to talk to him tonight live here on Racetime Radio and see how his weekend went. And we'll find out what's happening for 2019. And then we are going to wrap it up with another real, real good Canadian that's down in the NASCAR ranks and doing a whale of a job. We got Cole Pearn going to join the show. Of course, crew chief for that number 19 that went to Victory Lane last night, Martin Truex Jr. If you missed that race, I'll tell you what, you missed the best race of 2019 so far. That one there may even be the best race of the year, Junior, after all said and done. That was a whale of a finish.
Yeah, it was a great finish. You know, I love seeing a race where, you know, the handling comes into play, the strategy comes into play. They all come into play, not one thing or another. You know, if it's a fuel mileage race only, that's the only thing that comes into play at the end of the race, and I don't like that. If it's a... You know, if it's just handling that comes into play, I don't like that either, because it's usually somebody that's going to drive away from the field.
Exactly.
You know, it was the best of both worlds this past weekend at Richmond, and hats off to NASCAR. Obviously, through the beginning portion of the race, there was they got strung out, and there was a couple of good long green flag runs, but really it allowed everything to sort out, allowed everybody to feel out their car, get a good grip on adjustments when they did come down pit road under those yellow flags. Really, it shook out towards the end of that race with four cars under a blanket. If one thing happened it could have been a different winner. And, you know, Martin Truex did not have the best car, I don't feel, but he drove the best race. And that was definitely exciting. I loved watching that Richmond race.
It sure was. We'll also hear from Cole Custer a little bit later in the show. Of course, he went to victory lane in that Xfinity race. So much to get to, but what do you say we kick it all off with a guy that went to victory lane, I don't know, a couple hours ago in Salem. We got the winner. We got Michael Self with us. What's going on, Michael? How you doing? Congrats on the big win, brother.
Yeah, thank you, guys. Doing pretty good. Pretty excited tonight. It was an awesome day for us.
I would say so, man. You got her done. You had a short window. 101 laps is all the race went today. Rain did finally come in and sneak in on you guys and sort of shut you down, but it's got to be good to be the number 25. You were in the right place at the right time.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, we had just an awesome car all weekend, and, you know, we kind of dominated the race, which was a great feeling. You know, I think when the first yellow flag flew at that lap 90, third and fourth place were right in front of me, and second place was just a little bit in front of them as far as cars were lapping. So it's pretty rare that you have a day like that or have a car that's that good. So big shout out to my crew chief Shannon Rush and everyone at Venturi Motorsports for bringing cars like that to the racetrack. It just makes the day a lot of fun, no matter how many laps are run.
Exactly. I read a tweet earlier in the day. You said, you know, this car is going to be a bullet. We kind of need a little bit of a cloudy or a cool spot in there to really show what it's got. And, man, everything fell right into place, and you did have a missile.
Yeah, we did. I mean, and that's, you know, I think we would have been good no matter what the circumstances were. We knew that our car was good in a little bit cloudier and colder weather, so we were pulling for that. But I think it was going to be good. Even if the sun had came out and been shining for 200 laps, I was pretty confident what we had.
Michael, you know, going back to the race prior to this, of course, at Five Flags Speedway, the announcers were all over you saying that you weren't a short track ace, and you went out there and held the tires together and you know, brought home a very strong win at Five Flags. They didn't mention that you weren't a short track ace again during this broadcast on MAV TV, and you did the exact same thing. On two of arguably the toughest tracks on tires, really, that a heavy stock car races on, that's got to feel pretty good. Obviously, you didn't get the full run in today, and rain definitely helped out a little bit towards the end for it to be a shorter race. But two of the hardest tracks on tires, you were the strong and really the cream of the crop. That's got to feel good heading into the rest of the season.
Yeah, I think it does, but I also have to attribute a lot of that to when I raced out in the Canaan West Series. We ran a lot of really abrasive, worn-out racetracks similar to Pensacola and to Salem. So I'd say I probably have some of the most experience out there as far as running on wore-out, abrasive racetracks and tire management, and that's something that I'm always thinking about when we go through practice, focusing on the balance of our race car, and something I'm always keeping in mind, knowing how we're going to have to race those places. And so that experience definitely helps, mixed with the balance of the car. And like I said, the vehicles, the guys are putting underneath me, being able to maintain that. But these weren't two tracks that I probably would have circled. You know, Salem was a good track last year. I felt like I was fast here in the fall. But Pensacola definitely wasn't a track that I had circled. It wasn't one that I thought I would excel at. So it is good. It's good that we're doing well at these tracks and that I was able to win at these two. And we're getting closer to that streak of Charlotte, Pocono, Michigan, Iowa, Chicagoland, which are the tracks that I do have circled and the tracks that I'm really looking forward to. So if we can keep this momentum up and go get through Talladega in 2 weeks, Nashville and Toledo, and then get on to Charlotte, I'm definitely happy about where we're at as a team and the momentum that we have looking forward to those races.
Absolutely. One thing I want to kind of get your take on, when the rains came basically at, I guess, lap 84, halfway was, of course, 100 laps. When the rains came, the yellow came out, everybody formed up behind the pace car. You were the first to duck onto pit road, and by the looks of it on the TV broadcast, second came with you down pit road, but third and fourth stayed out. What was going through your mind? Obviously, it all worked out, and they ended up coming down pit road the second time around. But what was going through your mind? Were you praying for that rain real good?
Um, I, I don't really know. Not really. I actually kind of hoped we went back to green, because if we took two tires and a guy didn't take tires, you're going to pass him in one corner if they won't. You know, there's not going to be any hope for that
exactly.
guy.
Yep.
So whatever the situation was, it wasn't raining hard enough at that point to where we were going to call the race, but we knew it was close. I mean, we were watching the radar pretty closely and knew that we at least had a couple more laps, and Arca was pretty determined to get to that halfway point. So I was content with where we were at. I kind of figured it would play out into our hand either way. We had a fast enough car that I didn't think it was something we needed to worry about a whole lot. Just kind of had to get a handful of laps back in there and get things sorted out.
We're with Michael Self tonight. He won himself another ARCA race today. He did it at Salem just a few hours ago, and he joins us tonight on Racetime Radio. Michael, you rolled off fourth today. Not a bad qualifying effort either. Fourth spot, not a bad spot to roll off. You were probably shooting for the pole, but were you happy with the fourth place start?
Not really, but I also wasn't overly upset about it. We came and tested a couple of weeks ago, and then when we tested yesterday in practice, we weren't great at qualifying, and I think a lot of that was kind of on me and the way that I drive that track in particular, and it's maybe something that I need to figure out a little bit better. But we just never had a lot of qualifying speed, and three times that we took a swing at it or made an effort at it. So, I like I said earlier, I just focus on the race run speed of our car, because that's what matters. It's great to go fast for one lap, but if it doesn't go fast for 25 laps and beyond, it's a 200-lap race. That's where you got to be good. That's what really matters. That'll bite you a lot quicker than that one good lap will help you. So something that we learn from and make a couple notes about me being better or what we need to do better for qualifying, but ultimately the race is the big picture.
Well, you're coming on right at the right time. I know it's early in the season, and, you start the season out. Daytona didn't go the best for you, but, man, you've been hitting on all eight cylinders in that Sinclair Toyota ever since you left Daytona. It's been running magic for you. When does it start going into the mind, hey, we got a shot at this points title, because you're definitely flying up the charts?
Oh, that's been in my mind. It's the first couple laps of Daytona. That's why Daytona was kind of so hard to swallow. So we know now we attack every race the same, I think. Every race is about the ultimate big picture, which is points racing and is the championship. And, we'll see where we come out here after Salem. And, we'll be, like you said, a lot closer to the top. And even if we're number one, number two, it doesn't really matter. We go to Talladega in a couple weeks knowing that we've got to focus on points. And that can be one of the biggest, hardest days in terms of points, because there will be a lot of cars there, and it's a race just like Daytona, it can have a huge points impact. So we go in, we try and play a little bit smart, and then every other race we go into, and you always keep the points in the back of your head, but we also want to win. I think I've just got to do a good job of being smart, running races like I did at Pensacola and here at Salem today, and kind of keep that mindset and not get stressed out thinking about the points. It's easy to focus on that. It's easy to shoot yourself in the foot. I've done that in the past when I've been trying to chase points championships, so we can't let that happen. We just have to focus on having fun every weekend and going for those wins, and making sure we make the most out of every situation.
Yeah, those points, they'll take care of themselves every time if you do it. You head into Talladega next. I know Daytona, Talladega, they're both 2.5 mile. Well, Talladega's a little longer than that. And they're super speedway races. Do they race identical, or do you got to approach them slightly different?
No, you approach them different. Talladega does drive quite a bit different than Daytona. It is a little bit more of a second groove or an outside lane there that can be a little bit more competitive. The track, in my opinion, it's rougher. It's honestly a little bit harder to get a grasp on. Daytona, you're going to have a couple more cars show up. Guys being a little bit more aggressive, trying to get that spotlight, trying to get the win there. Last year, at least for me, Talladega was a little bit more tame. So hopefully it'll be that same way this year, and it'll be a little bit more of a relaxed race. But at the same time, it's still super speedway racing. It's still pack racing. We're fortunate to know that we have great super speedway cars coming out of Venturini Motorsports. And they won at Daytona. They left a lot of laps at Daytona. There's no reason that they can't do the same thing at Talladega. We've just got to be smart as drivers and put ourselves in the right position.
Well, you're getting pretty good at kissing the Italian, man. I got to tell you that. I guess one more at Talladega wouldn't hurt a bit.
Not at all.
Yeah, I bet. Little break now. You got plans for the holiday? Or are you just going to stay close to home and relax?
No, I got a lot of landscaping to do at the house and keep trying to get things in shape. And just back to school for me tomorrow. Just trying to get caught up on everything before the end of the semester. And we'll go test Nashville Speedway later this week and focus on that. Things just stay busy as they are.
Do you know how to play the guitar?
No, not even a little bit. Well, actually, you know what? I shouldn't say that. When I was young, I did take a handful of lessons. There were a couple songs that I could play, but if you asked me to do it now, I don't think it would come out all that well.
Well, that's got to be on the list. One of those guitars would look good on the shelf, and I imagine it's not something that you would play, though. You'd just sit it up on the shelf and talk about it.
Yeah, I think that's kind of one of those things that you maybe just put on the mantle or put a good story behind it.
Absolutely.
Incredible. But to see the tear you guys are on is fantastic. It's great entertainment, and congratulations on the win today at Salem. Awesome job.
Thank you guys very much. I appreciate it.
Well, we'll save your spot here. You get going at Talladega. We'll have you right back on here, Michael. We really look forward to it.
Sounds good. I look forward to it as well.
You betcha. Thanks so much for your time. Safe travels home.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it. Have a good one.
You bet. Michael Self, Victory Lane today, Talladega. No, that's the next race. Salem. Joe, that track, man, is that track got character?
Oh, it does, for sure. It is a really cool racetrack. You know, there's a lot to be said about, you know, rough surfaces, and really the facility itself has got so much history to it. And there's a lot of races that ARCA races on, and a lot of tracks that ARCA races on that are very similar to that. You know, Five Flag Speedway is another one. The next short track in the Sioux Chief Short Track Challenge is going to be coming up at Nashville, another track that is historical, worn out, rough surface, you know, just a really neat, you know, feel and vibe. Salem, you know, seeing the cars, how they can drive off into turn one, you know, and turn three and four being so different than the opposite end. The racing there is cool. It is very difficult to pass. You know, it seems like you can close up on a guy if he makes a mistake. But then if you don't have the lane going into the next corner, you lose and you give up everything that you had because you have to check up. So, it creates really good racing. I've got to be a little bit critical, though, on the ARCA series and you know, on what the package, not the package, but what they brought to the racetrack at Salem. A little bit disheartening to me. You know, 19 cars showing up at the racetrack. I speak it the way that it is. I'm disheartened by that, by the quality and the caliber of the car that showed up. You know, there was some obviously great teams from eighth to the winner. those were spectacular teams, and Venturini and of course DGR Crosley and those guys bring really nice stuff to the racetrack. But the discrepancy between the haves and the have-nots are at an all-time low for myself watching the race. And, you know, that is a little bit disheartening and something that they need to work on.
Well, see what it's like at Talladega. I'll bet you they've got a full field of cars at Talladega.
And I bet they will as well. And that is, you know, when they roll into... It wasn't that long ago that ARCA only had 8 to 10 televised live races a year.
Right.
Now they televise every race live. When they're on FS1, the amount of reach that they have, the amount of opportunity that they have, sponsorship related, you know, is way larger than what MAV-TV has on the audience side. But MAV-TV is growing every single day. And the ability to, you know, the ability to showcase a sponsor now in the ARCA series is at an all-time high. It's never been like it is today. So really it takes teams to notice and see that. And it also takes sponsors to notice and see that as well.
It would also have, you know, when drivers that are looking at running a limited schedule, you know, they're going to cherry pick. They're going to hit the ones that pay more money, They're probably going to run more races that are closer to home. So maybe Salem's out of the way for a lot of the guys. And it probably doesn't pay as much as what Talladega does. So I don't know whether it's got to do with the television reach or I imagine that's got a part to play in it. But there is a lot of race teams now today that are, you know, run a limited schedule.
Yeah, and really the approach to the ARCA series, if you're looking at going, you know, if your 3-year goal is to go truck racing in 3 years, it makes sense to run ARCA and it makes sense to run K&N on the tracks that the truck series go to or similar
right.
tracks that they go to. You know,
exactly.
like the Poconos, the Charlottes, the Daytonas, the Talladegas, and as well the road courses and things like that. The short tracks and the dirt tracks, for the longest time in the ARCA series, there was the professional level of ARCA driver, the Frank Kimmel of the world, the
yep.
Bobby Gerhart of the world. There was numerous guys like that, where today it's all guys who are feeder or feeder divisions, that are development drivers, quote unquote, that are getting ready to go truck racing or getting ready to go into the Xfinity series or whatever level.
Right.
So that is part of it. And really when you look at NASCAR seeing this plan coming down the line, not the plan, but the problem coming down the line. And really just this past week, I seen a bunch of tweets, but one that stands out from Brandon Thompson, of a picture of an ARCA car and a picture of a K&N car side by side in a garage area. They're doing some testing of a K&N car and an ARCA car side by side. Really, it doesn't make sense to have the K&N series and the ARCA series anymore. It makes sense to have one all-encompassing series. And
yeah,
I think
ARCA
that would change
series.
The ARCA series, exactly. But it would change the dynamic of you know, showing up to some of these short tracks as long as they don't give them up. You know, Salem is a great racetrack. I want to see 30 ARCA cars that are quality cars on the racetrack at Salem, and it would be a lights-out amazing show.
Yeah,
to
would.
Me.
It
like,
would.
Sure. And really, you can say the same thing about any racetrack. If you have 30 competitive cars, it would be exciting. But at a racetrack like Salem, at a racetrack like Five Flag Speedway, even at the fairgrounds, I want to see a great car count. And unfortunately, there was 10 cars in the field today that are basically boat anchors. And that is difficult for me to stomach. I don't
well,
like that.
Yeah, and that's sometimes what you get.
I get that 100%. It's just worth noting that it's, you know, it's something that needs to be worked
it's,
on.
To me, it's always quality more than quantity. I don't care if there's 40 cars there. If there's only two guys that can win the race, to me, it isn't much of a show. Put 20 cars or 19 cars on the racetrack, and if 10 of them have got an opportunity to really get after it, that to me is going to be the show.
Agreed.
I don't care if there's 30 of them there.
Yep.
Doesn't matter. Like, that's just the way it is.
It is. The
different
way that it
strokes
is.
For different folks. Okay, we're going to hit this break. When we come back, off to the East Coast we go. We're going to bring in Chris Hughes. Stay with us.
Hey, this is Todd Lewis from the NASCAR television crew. You're listening to Race Time Radio.
From coast to coast, you're listening to Canada Talks.
MAP TV, the only network dedicated to all things motorsports, is racing across Canada now. The only network destination of all things motorsports. MAP TV offers every type of motorsports racing. With grassroots racing events from across the country and around the world, MAV TV's programming schedule is truly second to none. MAV TV Canada. Contact your TV provider for availability now.
Canadian business journalist and author Amanda Lang stopped by Canada Talks.
I've written this book, Power Why, which was about engaging in your life and getting curious to get creative and innovative, because I realized that even when we have the right answers, we don't do anything with it. It's the change management that doesn't happen. And I started asking, why on earth do humans find change so hard? And when I started to look at it, it's neuroscientific, it's psychological, it's social, there's all these different moving parts. That was super interesting to me.
Canada Talks, Sirius XM Channel 167.
Race Time Radio is brought to you by the Quality Inn Halifax Airport, the official stay of the Racetime Radio broadcast crew. Also by APX Racewear, the motorsports leader in custom crew apparel and fire suits. Also by the Wooden Door Bistro.
If you're a Springsteen fan, you just found the promised land. Hey, hear rare interviews and performances. Live concerts.
Is there anybody alive out there?
Celebrity guest DJs.
This is Rob Lowe.
Hey, baby, it's little Steven here.
And more exclusives when listening to Bruce Springsteen's channel.
Welcome, Bruce Springsteen, to E Street Radio, your home away from home.
Great to be here.
E Street Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 20.
Racetime Radio to go.
Streaming live or on demand.
Grab the free app
at racetimeradio.com.
Here's what you missed
on NHL game day.
Scotty Bowman joins us. When you were coaching a team, was it important to kind of move a piece out, move a piece in, just to kind of keep it fresh, to bring in guys who hadn't won before?
I think winning a championship, it's very difficult to make changes. It'd be always good if you could add a piece or two without disturbing the chemistry of the team, which was not easy.
NHL game day
on Sirius XM NHL Network Radio.
Sirius XM 91.
Taking you all the way to the track and back.
It's Racetime Radio.
If I had a tail, it'd be wagging.
It's a mental picture I get in.
And welcome back, everybody. Okay, there, I'll fade it out. No, I love that song. Bulldog.
That's right.
Yeah. If you had a tail, it'd be wagging.
It would be.
Yeah. Too funny. That's,
you know, and looking back at the weekend,
yeah,
that's what it's like when a short track race pops on the TV.
Yeah.
I get excited about
yeah,
it.
Yeah. I know. Let's get back to the program, shall we? And we'll welcome in all the way from Prince Edward Island. How about the driver, the number 32 out there? His name is Chris Hughes, and he is on the hotline. What's going on, Chris? How you doing?
Hey, guys. Doing great. How about you?
Fantastic, my man. You got the car looking pretty good. Seen the photos. That 32 is rocking.
Yeah, the car looks pretty good. It's not just me, though. Corey McNeil there, the car owner, and his son, Jaden, they've been working hard on it, and they've got it looking pretty good for this year, yeah.
Now, is that a brand-new car, or is this one here just totally blown apart and all put back together all new?
No, this was a car that we redid over last winter. Before last season, we bought a new Hemke clip and we put it on in our shop there last winter and ran it all last summer.
Yeah, and that car worked pretty good. I know you had some difficulties, but, man, when you were on, it was on.
Yeah, we had a couple really good races. We struggled a little bit with the same issue most of the year, but we led some laps here in the tour race on PEI, and we had some really strong runs. We didn't get to finish them all out like we would have liked to, but we had the car going pretty good.
Were you one of the regulars, Chris, out on the island? Because I know they fired up Pro Stocks last year at Oyster Bed Speedway on a more regular basis, not in tour races. Did you participate in that, and how was it?
It was good. I think it was a good step for the track out there, and we did, I want to say we did maybe three of the events. We actually won the Labor Day race out there. And yeah, it's come along pretty good, and they had an open at the end of the year that we ran. I think they had 17 cars show up for it, so it's growing.
You got to love it when a plan comes together. No, Bill's working hard on it. All those guys are there, and nothing will spark you up like a little bit of extra track time. You know, when that tour comes in, the local guys can be really hard to beat.
Yeah, they can be pretty tough, and we're pretty lucky. We had a pretty good tour race there this summer, led some laps, and thought we were going to have a crack at it, but I think we ended up sixth or something, but we had a pretty good event there.
So what's the plans now for 2019? You got that car all ready to go. What's the schedule looking like for you?
Excuse me. The car's pretty near ready to go. There's always some stuff left to do at the end here, but we've got Subaru of Moncton that really helps us out. We do three or four races in New Brunswick for them, so those will be at Petty Speedway. We're going to do three or four over there. We'll do the tour races at home here on the island, I'm sure, and we might look at the IWK again or a couple of big events.
Ah, that's going to be a smoker schedule for you. It sounds like you're going to have a lot of fun, too. How about the crew? Same guys? Same deal there?
Same guys. Super small group here. Corey McNeil and I own the car together. We do a power of the work at home in the garage, just him and I, and his son, Jade, and some other guys that come to the track with us and help us out every week. So, it's basically the same, just very small team, family kind of oriented team, and we just try to have some fun, and we work our butts off trying to get going with these guys.
Hey, nothing wrong with that. When you can put a group of guys together, everybody knows what they're doing. It kind of works out slick, doesn't it?
Absolutely, yeah. No, and we're super shameless plug here, but we're super lucky to have a lot of really good sponsors that have been with us for either with me for a long time or people that have come on with us, like Tops to Floors and GMP Trucking. They've been on us, I think, for 22 years they've been with me racing. So we were just celebrating that last week. And we've got a restaurant here, Holy Cow Burgers and Wings here. And, we have such good help. It's just kind of incredible to us that we're so lucky that way.
Well, Chris, I'll kind of give you a plug back because one of the biggest things, I see from your racing program is the aesthetics of what you guys bring to the racetrack every single week. I follow along a lot of guys across North America in the late model ranks, and you guys have a tremendous knack for coming out with a beautiful looking race car. You guys, every time you unload from the hauler, the thing looks like it's spotless and brand new. And you guys represent your sponsors very well. I've got to give you a big plug there for that because, there's a lot of guys that do the same and have the ability to unload a professional looking race car, but you guys take it to another level. You guys have some really nice looking stuff and I've got to give you a hats off for that because it looks, every time you guys unload or post a photo, I love what it looks like. So you guys do a good job with that.
Well, I really appreciate that. That's not me. That's Corey and Jaden in the shop, and they do a lot of that. I spend most of my time on the setup stuff, and they make sure it's looking good, and they're always touching it up and try to do it without buying too many pieces, obviously, but they do a great job of working with what we have.
So they yell at you when you get door dings. Those are the guys yell at you.
No, they just say, send her, yeah. Bring it home.
Yeah.
Put some donuts on it.
Come on, driver. Yeah. Don't do that. We just got to fix
that. They're good that way. They're great.
Gotta love it.
You mark her up, we'll fix it up.
the off season is kind of long for us up here in Canada, but the good part is everybody tends to learn something new, and everybody's excited to hit spring and get these cars back on the racetrack. How about the off season for you, Chris Hughes? Did you learn anything this year in the off season that you're just itching to try?
Oh gosh, yeah, we get a little help there from Andrew and the boys at King Racing. I know you're familiar with them.
Oh, yeah.
So a bit of an association with them there, and they're good to help me out, and we're always learning from them. Andrew's good to us, and we were over there with the rear end this winter and always learning stuff, and we've got some stuff that we think we found that was wrong with the car that we're really excited to get out and try this spring.
You just stole my question by answering that way, Yeah. I was actually going to ask that. There is a massive influx of partnerships within the Pro Stock Tour. Well, really, within all pro late model racing, there's a big influx of relationships with chassis builders or somebody that is on the fabrication side along with the programs. For the longest time, were you guys an independent team, or has that relationship been going on for a long time?
That kind of started when we got our new clip last year, and we're pretty. I don't even know if they want to say they're associated with us, but we're pretty small. But they do help us out, and we do try to support them too with their parts business, and try to support them for helping us out too. But that's only been the last couple of years, and before that, we were kind of on our own a little bit. So it's been a really big help.
Hey, man, if you went to Victory Lane last year at the Labor Day race, they want to be associated with you. Anytime that a guy goes to Victory Lane. Now, if you're running around in 18th, don't mention my name.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? But
and they're great. I think they're pretty happy to see the huge steps we made last year to them. Or if we could do half of that again this year, I think that'll put us in a position to maybe see us up a little further, too.
Always driven to get those results, and that's the key behind this whole sport. You got to keep trying to move the ball ahead and keep getting those results. And, Chris, you guys do that. It's going to be exciting to catch you out there. I can guarantee it. How about sponsors on the car? You got them all done?
Absolutely, yeah. Like I mentioned, Subaru of Moncton is on the quarter panels. Top of the Floor has been on the hood. And both of those guys have been major sponsors for the last, 3 years, I would say, at least. Even back to our late model championship years, they were on the car. Tops of Floors was Subaru is new, but we've also got GMP Trucking, we've got Holy Cow Burgers, and we've got the Oyster Bed Esso here that helps us out a ton. Peterbilt Atlantic and Morrison's Truck Sales. So we've got quite a crew on there, and you can always go online. You see, we're always pushing them, promoting their stuff, and trying to sell their product for them.
Holy Cow Burgers sounds like a damn good plan. Just so you know, what's their specialty? Obviously, burgers. Is there a claim to fame burger that they have, or what is it?
Right now, we've got Burger Love going on PEI. They call
burger
it
Burger Love.
So there's a promotion going on where all these restaurants put forth their best possible burger, and they're pushing that right now. But there's this little restaurant, Morel, and like a lot of things, you know, there's a family tie, and they've been great to us the last few years, helping us out.
And where are they located? Like
they're in Morrell. Morrell, PEI.
Morrell.
Eastern PEI.
Okay, help me out. How close is that to Charlottetown?
Oh, you're probably only 20 minutes from Charlottetown.
About 20 minutes away. And now, if you go out there and win, like, that first petty race, are they going to come out with a 32 Hughes burger?
I was thinking that the other day, you know, something like the Bloomin' Onion thing that Harvick has. We should be pushing, like, a top five or a top 10 finish. We should have some sort of reward out there.
That would do it.
Absolutely. 100%, man. I'd cover that all day long, and I'd probably even go there. I want some.
Yeah.
It just sounds good. That's a cool name for a restaurant. Holy cow.
Yeah, you can see their logo and stuff on the car and on our website. That's pretty neat.
Well, we're hoping to get out to PEI this year, and I'll guarantee you, I'll head out to Holy Cow Burgers. You can almost guarantee, with Brad, Josh, and Jerry.
We'll
be hitting a burger spot somewhere, I guarantee it.
Probably talk Tim into it too, eh?
Oh, Timmy, right. You can bet. Tim, he's really good on fish and chips, though. He really likes his Murphys.
They fix you up that way, too.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It'll all work.
Yeah, for sure.
You betcha. So Petty's going to be your first race. You going to get any practice in before then?
We are scrambling right now to try to get testing because we have a pretty long list of stuff we want to get through on a test day. So we're trying to find a day we can everybody can get away from work and work it out and get over there for a few hours.
You got rid of all the snow? Is the island back to floating?
Yeah, we're above water again. Yeah, no, it's pretty good here right now. It's probably 10 or 12 degrees today, so the snow was pretty well shot.
Ah, gotta love it. Gotta love it. We got a little bit of crap flying around outside the RTR studio, but it's temporary. I know it is. Chris, this has been great catching up with you tonight. I know I look forward to catching you at a race. We're going to be broadcasting a bunch out there this year, so hopefully we get together.
It'd be great if you come down here to the island. It'd be great if you could get to the island for a race.
Well, fingers crossed. We're trying. We'll see what happens.
Awesome.
You betcha. Chris, thanks so much for the time tonight, bud.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on. Appreciate it always.
You betcha. That's Chris Hughes. You can catch him. He's going to be at Petty at that first Pro Stock Tour race, the Parts for Trucks Tour. It's going to kick off there on the May long weekend, Junior.
You know what we need to do for RTR? We need to come out with a voting system for us between you and I. On best appearing car, best interview, stuff like that. Like just like a small award show for the end of the year. I would be hasty to say that I would put that 32 car in the best appearing category for me right now.
Ooh.
As a nomination. It is a sporty looking piece, and I'm not just beating around the bush when I say that. That he always has a really good looking hot rod.
No, I guarantee it.
And really, I think it goes a lot to painting the wheels. You don't see a whole
paint
lot of it
wheels.
Anymore. So we were talking about this last week, or not
yesterday.
The last week, last night, watching the cup race on the colored of the wheels.
Yep.
And really, you don't see a whole lot of colored wheels anymore in late model racing, in NASCAR. Of course, Penske does it, and there's a couple of different teams out there that will come out with a different colored wheel for a different paint scheme, but I like it when a car has got a different set of wheels to it.
Me too.
Like it,
me too.
It brings it out, and you know, obviously there's some high cost options on the paint and the wheels side. You can get some really neat chrome looking wheels and stuff like that. I think back to you know, I think it was Sean Grossman that rolled in with those really bright chrome red wheels.
Yeah.
You know, you see some of those different color schemes out there, but there's a lot to be said about painting the wheels to match your car. And with those white wheels on that Subaru car, it looks pretty badass.
Yeah, it sure does. We're going to hit a break, and then off to Newfoundland we go. Stick around. We're just getting things rolling.
Hi, this is Adam West from Ridgetown, Ontario, driver of Southern Ontario Sprints number 30, and you're listening to Racetime Radio.
From coast to coast, you're listening to Canada Talks.
MAP TV, the only network dedicated to all things motorsports, is racing across Canada now. The only network destination of all things motorsports. MAP TV offers every type of motorsports racing. With grassroots racing events from across the country and around the world, MAP TV's programming schedule is truly second to none. MAP TV Canada. Contact your TV provider for availability now.
Everyone has a great time on Canada Talks. Marie Osmond.
The character and the person I am today is not because of the good things in my life. It's because of being able to pick myself up and get through some of the hard things in life. And so we are going to have those trials. That's what defines us. That's what determines our character.
Canada Talks, Sirius XM Channel 167, and on demand with the Sirius XM app.
Racetime Radio is fueled by BP Race Fuels, the worldwide leader in race fuel technology. Dawson Dental Centers. Get your victory lane smile at DawsonDental.ca.
Here's what you missed on NHL Game Day.
Scotty Bowman joins us. When you were coaching a team, was it important to kind of move a piece out, move a piece in, just to kind of keep it fresh, to bring in guys who hadn't won before?
I think winning a championship, it's very difficult to make changes. It'd be always good if you could add a piece or two without disturbing the chemistry of the team, which was not easy.
NHL Game Day on Sirius XM NHL Network Radio. Sirius XM 91.
Everyone has a great time on Canada Talks. Paul Stanley.
To be really successful, at least to feel personally successful, you have to do what you love doing. I've always believed that people aren't that different than I am, and if I do something I love, somebody else is going to love it. So it held true for music, it held true for doing theater, and it's held true for my art.
Don't miss a second. Canada Talks, Sirius XM Channel 167.
Racetime Radio.
Only on Sirius XM 167.
We get you closer.
Racetime Radio is brought to you by the Quality Inn, Halifax Airport, the official stay of the Racetime Radio broadcast crew. Also by APX Racewear, the motorsports leader in custom crew apparel and fire suits. Also by the Wooden Door Bistro.
If you're looking for miles per gallon, you're definitely at the wrong place. Maybe a few channels up or a few channels down, you'll find it. But this is Racetime Radio
on Sirius XM 167. Canada Talks.
And now, back with your host, Joe Chisholm.
And we are back with you live tonight on Racetime Radio. If you're tuned in on Sirius XM Channel 167, good evening. So glad you could carve out some time. Or maybe you're tuned in on the Performance Motorsport Network.com. You can hear Racetime Radio a bunch of times throughout the course of the week. Or how about XFM, 98.9 XFM in Antigonish. You can hear Racetime Radio on there weekly. And Gearhead Country Radio, or maybe you missed the show, missed part of it, and you want to have a listen to it, easy to do. Just get to iTunes and search Racetime Radio. When you find it there, click on subscribe, and you'll never miss another Racetime Radio for as long as it's up there. You'll be all set. But let's get back to the hotline, shall we? We're going to get all the way out to Newfoundland now. Of course, Eastbound International Speedway is where our next guest is going to be racing this summer. And trust me, they don't make them much better than this guy. Let's welcome in Phil Fowler. What's going on tonight there, Phil? How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great, bud. How you doing?
Fantastic. Man, you got the 11 car looking pretty sporty already, and you still got a few weeks before you go green.
Yeah, we're trying to get some test time at our racetrack, hopefully next week. Weather here is great. Snow is all gone. The track is ready, so hopefully we get some test and tuning with both our cars on the track next week.
You gotta love it, Phil. I know you got you and Patty been working hard in that shop getting everything ready to go. You got more than one race car there, and I know you're putting them all together. Let's start with that sportsman car. Did you have to do much, Phil? I know you wrecked pretty hard at the end of last year. Was there much wrong with the 11, or was it cosmetic?
Oh, he bent the steering wheel. I'm going to answer that for him. I seen the steering wheel. He walked up to me and showed me the steering wheel in his hand, and it was bent. It was folded like a taco. That car was not just cosmetic, was it, Phil?
No, it was far from cosmetic. We done a full rebuild on it this winter. Everything, we didn't stop it. We really need to compete this year in the championship, so we changed everything from the back bumper right to the front bumper. The car is basically a brand new car now. All suspension, rear end. We upgraded to a 9-inch Ford. All disc brake. The car is top of the line car there now for a B&R metric car.
Oh, you're gonna love it, Phil. When you go into that turn and you step on that brake pedal, you're gonna feel that car slow down a lot differently with 4-wheel disc on it. That's gonna be a real nice improvement. It's gonna fit you like a glove.
I'm hoping I don't have to touch the brake too much.
No, but it's nice when it's nice to have them when you need them, though.
Oh, it is. It is. Hopefully the braking system, I know it's not going to be as good as my Pro Stock, but hopefully the braking system, the upgrade this year, I hope it'll be a major factor with how the car is handling.
Now, last year, right at the end of the season, Children's Make a Wish ended up on that 11 car. And by the sounds of it and by the look of it, they're going to be back with you. Tell us about that. Children's Make-A-Wish, what a foundation to be partnered up with.
Yes, we're partnered up with those guys. I think we're going to be partnered up for the long haul with Children's Wish. It's a great foundation. We're racing this year. Both my cars are going to be Children's Wish cars. Of course, whatever it takes to... The Children's Wish deal with terminally ill children, and whatever it takes to put a smile on some of those children's face. That's what we're going to do, everything that we can possibly do for the Children's Wish in that way. But the Orange Store stepped up, is our main sponsor for the race car. They stepped up, so we got to really take care of those guys as well as Epic Racewear. So they're the guys that's going to be making me look good out there. Hopefully I can drive the baby as good as they make me look.
Absolutely, 100%. Phil, talk to us a little bit about the Orange Store. I'm unfamiliar with the Orange Store. What are they?
The Orange Store is Orange Store North Atlantic. They're basically a gas company here that they got an Orange Store. They got a convenience store. It's a really big company, North Atlantic. And so we got our car all lit up at the Orange Store. They came on full-time. Hopefully it's going to be a long-term relationship we're going to have with the Orange Store. They're great people to deal with. And so everything so far is focused around the Orange Store, Children's Wish, and the rest of my sponsors. We have a Epic Racewear is going to be a great sponsor this year for us, so we're going to be flaunting all their fire suits as much as possible.
I'll tell you what, those Orange Stores are beautiful. You go into them. Here in Ontario, I guess, like 7-Eleven, right?
Okay, like a C-store.
Yeah, it's a convenience gas station. But I'll tell you what, they got everything in those stores.
That's cool.
And they are absolutely gorgeous. I know when I fly into St. John's, as soon as you land there, they got a brand new one right outside the airport. And I always make Bob stop at it. Got to grab a can of Pepsi. All the stuff in there. They're beautiful stores. I know they've even, I believe they even carry tickets to Eastbound International, don't they?
Yes, yeah, they do. They sell all the function, every function that happens at Eastbound, I do believe, goes through the Orange Store. All the concerts, the monster truck shows. They sell all the tickets for races, I do believe, for Eastbound.
Yeah, pretty cool partnership. Good for you guys for doing it. Phil, you alluded to it. You're going to go after that championship. this year, 2019, that's a lofty goal, man. You got a lot of tough competitors at Eastbound, and you're. But I guess it's time for you to get up there and play with the big guys, right?
I guess, yeah, yeah. We got a lot of competition this year. Pat got the car. Pat Squires, he got the car now, as good as it can possibly be. So if anything goes wrong now, I guess it's going to be my problem. But we got a lot of really, really heavy competition. We got the 56 car and we got the 99. And they're great racers, so they are going to be tough to beat.
Yeah, Walsh is a definitely a tough customer. Josh Collins, another one that's got a ton of experience.
And the young lad, too, coming out there,
Owen Groves.
That's definitely, he made a big swing towards the end of the year last year. And so did you. You ended up picking up lots of speed towards the end of the year, didn't you, Phil?
Yes, we went from the back. We had a lot of mechanical issues last year. After that big wreck we had, it seemed like there was one thing after another. But we always got the top three, top four, and then of course something mechanical would happen. And we had a rough season last year, so we wanted to really nip that in the butt this year. We took the car, totally dismantled the car. The car is basically a brand new car now. Anything that could go wrong is replaced, and all our gearboxes, our engines, our rear ends, everything's new. There's nothing. There's no used stuff in the car no more. So the car is basically a brand new car. Other than the chassis, everything in the car is brand new.
Well, you know what, Phil? You got to have bad years. You got to have bad luck to have good luck. And you got to have all of that. And you know what? You had your share of it last year. I think you're in for a great season this year. It's going to be incredible. Fans are going to want to get out and keep their eye on that 11 at Eastbound International Speedway. Social media, are you a big part of that too? Can fans follow you along?
Yes, we can. We got a race page on Facebook, Number 11 Racing. We're right in the process now. I got a lady that which does all my managing work, I guess you would say, Angela Hiscock. She is in the process now of revamping the whole Facebook media page. So it'll be easier for people to access and that kind of thing. So we get to update a lot of the stuff that's on that page. But this year is a totally different year for us. So with all these big sponsors that came on, this is our first year having some of the sponsors that we have now. We had Hanlon Realty. Hanlon Realty is still with us this year, but they're not as big as they were. But since then, like I say, we're running for the Children's Wish again. So Orange Store is our primary sponsor. They're on the quarter panels and hoods. We got the Epic Racewear. He's flying with all my fire suits, all my everything for race apparel and all that stuff.
Yeah,
we got Supreme Auto Sales. They came on this year. Finish Line Auto Sales came on this year. And, of course, OnSite is still with us. OnSite's been with us from day one, OnSite Auto Glass. And so has A-Plus Auto Center. They've been with us from day one.
Gotta love it. Well, they're backing a good team. I can guarantee that. I know Gwen will keep you in shape. You'll be at the race, ready to go, looking good. And you'll have a great car. You've also got a pro stock. What's happening with that? You're going to get to some pro stock races.
Yeah, we're going to do some pro stock racing this year. I'm actually going to be meeting up with Gary Elliott up in Prince Edward Island on June the 29th. I think the date is. I think it's from the date. So both of us are going to meet up there at Oyster Bed and run a couple of races up there. And I'm really excited about meeting this guy, Gary Elliott. It seems like he's a really, really knowledgeable guy, and I'm going to learn a lot from him.
Oh, so you will.
And he's coming to our track, too, September the 1st, and he's going to do some racing here with us.
You guys are in for a treat. The Iron Man, Gary Elliott, making it all the way out to the Rock. You guys are going to have a lot of fun. I can guarantee it.
Yeah, I'm after speaking with him a few times now. He seems like a real knowledgeable man. I think it's going to be a great learning curve for us when we get Gary here, and because he's second to none when it comes to experience of all his years of racing.
Yeah, I'd say over 50 years. Gary Elliott has got it. He's probably forgot more than all of us combined. Gary has been there. He's been a staple in racing for a long time. And trust me, when you meet him, you won't believe he's got 50 years in. You'll say, how did you get 50 years in? Did you start before you were born?
Yeah, I can't wait. I can't wait for him to get on our racetrack. But as you know, Joe, look, we have a beautiful facility here, and I can't wait for him to experience the 3.8-mile oval that we have. We have a really fast track, so hopefully he enjoys it and he comes back for more racing.
He's going to love it out there. I can guarantee it. Phil, this has been great catching up with you tonight. Sounds like everything's pointing the right way for you. Get a little test time in and make sure you let us know. We'll be watching your social media, but make sure you let us know how those tests work out for you.
Oh, most definitely.
Yeah, going to be good stuff. Thanks so much for the time tonight on Race Time. We sure do appreciate it, bud.
Thank you so much, bud. You have a great night.
You betcha. That's Phil Fowler, driver the number 11 out there on that beautiful rock called Newfoundland, and he races at Eastbound International. If you're heading to Newfoundland this summer for a holiday, make sure you make it out to Eastbound International Speedway. You'll love it.
Absolutely. And they don't make him better than Phil Fowler. He's a great dude, and he's going to be in the sport for a long time, that boy. He loves racing through and through. And you know, there's a lot of them out there. There's a lot of diehard racers out there. You know, Phil is you can hear the excitement in his voice. He's definitely pumped up and ready to go for 2019.
I was at the banquet, at Eastbound's banquet, to finish off 2018, and I sat down with Phil for a bit, and he said, listen to me, and listen to me good. I am going to go after that championship in 2019. He said, I know I've said this before, but I'm telling you what, I am going to go for it in 2019. He is rebuilding everything. He said he was going to rebuild everything. He's got a pro stock. He's got a bunch of stuff going on. And you know what? Phil Fowler is doing exactly what he said he was going to do, and that's kind of cool. When they back up what they say they're going to do, I wouldn't doubt he is going to be out there loaded for bear this year. He had some rough rides last year, Junior. I missed the night he wrecked, but I guess that was quite a wreck for him.
It was big. You know, a car came across the racetrack. I think it was the 12 of Dean Martin. I don't know. Was it the two?
Two of Dean Martin.
The black car. There was a car anyways that spun and kind of parked right in the middle of the track, and he came off throttle on you know, it was definitely a blind corner on exit there just because of the pit wall and everything that's there. So, he was eyeing up the exit of the corner, and by the time he seen the car and lifted his foot off the throttle, he was already in the passenger seat of that car.
Wow.
And he definitely crushed her pretty bad. When he took the impact, you know, he braced up and he folded that steering wheel right around like a taco. Those are always a scary hit. Seen a couple of them in my career, but really, that was definitely by far the most bent steering wheel I've ever seen. So that shows you the hit that he took. But he got out and made a show of it for the crowd and ended up walking up after destroying a race car, being dejected as he was, but walked up into the grandstands and actually gave his steering wheel to a lucky fan, which he's definitely a showman in that way.
Isn't that? That's Phil Fowler for you. I'm telling you what, if you make it out there to Eastbound, look him up. Driver the number 11, go over and introduce yourself to him. You won't find a better guy. They're all like that out there in Newfoundland.
They, are,
they
sure.
really are. The teams are very approachable. And I can tell you what, you won't have more fun at a racetrack than you will at Eastbound International Speedway. Those guys have got it all glued in. We got to say happy birthday, too, to Mike James. He is at Eastbound.
100 years old, right?
He's one of those
85.
Old guys.
He's got 16 kids. He's 114 years old.
He's got to be older than Bob now. But yep. You know what, Junior, we got to throw it back to Toronto. Got a quick news package. Going to run it. And then we come back for hour number two here tonight on Race Time. We got Donald Teige coming up. We've also got Cole Pern coming up. So don't go anywhere. We will be back.
You're listening to Canada Talks on Sirius XM, channel 167.
Race Time Radio is brought to you by the Quality Inn, Halifax Airport, the official stay of the Race Time Radio broadcast crew. Also by APX Racewear, the motorsports leader in custom crew apparel and fire suits. Also by the Wooden Door Bistro.
Let's see if we got enough fuel to burn this thing down. Come on, come on. Nobody gets you closer to the drivers than SiriusXM NASCAR Radio.
Stick a flag here, baby.
All
yeah, baby!
Things racing.
Oh, my God!
SiriusXM NASCAR Radio.
Holy crap, did you see that?
One race at a time.
Left side off.
Jimmy Johnson's flowing, the race leader off two!
It's all on SiriusXM NASCAR Radio, Channel 90.
Show them how to burn it down.
Or on your phone when you get out of the car with the SiriusXM app. With the two Joes
here on Racetime Radio
on SiriusXM 167,
where Canada talks.
And just like that, hour number two begins here tonight on Racetime Radio. Gotta let you know too. I got an email from the boss at SiriusXM, and he said, "Hey everybody, don't forget our live sports packaging is all coming up on the channel, on channel 167. So at times, things can get bumped around and shows can get preempted, all due to whatever we've got on the channel that is a live sporting event. So I just want you to know, if you're tuned in on SiriusXM channel 167, that there could be times throughout the course of the summer that Racetime Radio gets pushed. And if it does, no big deal. You can always check us out online at racetimeradio.com, listen to the live stream, or you can get back to that iTunes that I was talking about earlier, and you can always catch the show on there. And there's multiple ways you can listen to Racetime Radio. We love SiriusXM Channel 167, but we also love live sports too. And I know everybody that listens to the channel is looking forward to as much of that live sports stuff as we can get. You never know. We might even be able to get a race or two on SiriusXM. We'll keep pushing on them. And if that's something that you want as a listener, make sure you let SiriusXM Channel 167 know that it'd be kind of cool to have some live races on there as well. Good idea, Junior, or
100%.
What? Yeah.
Let's add her up. That's definitely cool. And, you know, rolling through the season, you can always, of course, find us right here on all of the different various forms of communication, whether it be Podbean or Apple iTunes. You know, you can find us usually on Facebook and Twitter every Sunday night. We upload the show, and there's millions of different ways that you can follow along. We're going to invent a chip pretty soon where it just gets implanted. Yeah. All of our thoughts get implanted into your mind.
Wouldn't that be cool?
That'd be cool. Hey, I want to say,
okay,
I am livid about the IndyCar finish today.
Really?
Livid. 100% pissed off, upset, mad.
Yeah, really?
Yes.
Why is that?
Well,
I know
Graham Rahal, and there's no reason for me to be upset for Graham Rahal. I've got no skin in that game at all.
No.
But towards the end of that race, of course, Alexander Rossi drove away with it. You know, the guy won by the largest margin in the history of the Long Beach Grand Prix. Drove away with
it. Is that just an opinion or is that fact?
No, it's a fact. They said that towards the end of the broadcast.
Oh, wow.
He won by a very large margin.
Wow.
Second and third place, battling. And really, it was for third. Third and fourth place were battling hard.
Yeah.
And it was Scott Dixon and Graham Rahal. Dixon had a little bit more push to pass, ended up getting to the back of Rahal on the last lap, kind of about three quarters of the way through the last lap, or sorry, three quarters of the way through, towards the final lap.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was just good, hard racing. The guy had more push to pass, came off of whatever turn it was, turn six or turn five, had a decent run. Graham Rahal, you know, smoked the right front tire on entry and lost a bunch of momentum and seen it in his mirror coming and, you know, basically on exit of that turn, just cut hard right because that's really the only place where Dixon could go.
Right.
Before Dixon even decided to try to make the move, he was already there and they called him for blocking. And they ended up taking Graham Rahal's position away for blocking and they put him in fourth. So that... any time that a sanctioning body does that, and really the last time that I experienced that was at the Mossport race in the NASCAR Pinty Series.
Yep.
Where it was us, it was Ranger who ended up getting put to the last car on the lead lap for dumping the 74. Any time that the sanctioning body, now if you wreck a guy, I get it. And I can stomach the fact that you're going to get a penalty for that.
Right.
So I can stomach that. Getting a penalty for anything that happens on the racetrack other than wrecking somebody absolutely pisses me off. Unless you're going to go through a shortcut. Like if it's a set of chicanes and you're going to just blow through the chicanes,
right,
that
right.
guy gets a penalty.
Yeah.
You can't just blow through the set of chicanes or blow through the bus stop at Watkins Glen and take a bunch of positions.
No.
But anything that happens on the racetrack between two guys, the sanctioning body should never step in between that, because that is exciting racing that gets trumped by the excitement or the false excitement of the sanctioning body penalizing a guy.
Yeah, it's tough. It's tough.
Nope.
If an official decides to make a call and he, I don't know, tries to input the intent of the driver, I've always disagreed with that. And as a track owner, as a guy that is trained officials, I always tell them one thing, and I always drive it home. You cannot go off of what you think that driver's intention was. You know, sometimes you get a guy that will historically be the bump and run guy, and you can sort of predict, if you will, that the guy is going to run into somebody and move him up out of the way. And in short track racing, if it becomes a problem, you got to really reel it in and tell everybody there's no more doing that.
But, no more bumping and running on a short track?
No. Bumping and running, yes, but not bumping and spinning a guy.
No. If you're going to dump guys, and, then you got a problem.
And that's right. Intention is what I'm trying to get
exactly.
at here. You can't have an official that sort of, makes a call based on what you think that driver's intention was.
Yeah.
Because 50% of the time you're going to be wrong.
Exactly.
And you're going to get the call wrong.
Yeah.
But it's a well-known fact in IndyCar racing, you are not allowed to block.
Well,
it is.
I mean,
it's part of that game.
Yeah. It technically in
you
in
can't
the rules,
look at IndyCar and try and judge it by what NASCAR does.
And I'm not,
because NASCAR doesn't penalize anything.
Yeah. The crazy part is that he didn't even block to the extent that he didn't have a lane. That's like he moved over two lanes and there's still a lane towards the inside.
Well,
there. When you look at it, it's whether it's a block or whether it's not a block. A block is a subjective call at any length. I don't care if you move an inch or 2 feet or 16 feet. It's a subjective call if it's a block or not.
Yeah.
And for it to be called a block, he said it in his interview. He's like, did I block him? I blocked the run. I tried to block the run, absolutely. And he allowed himself to agree that he blocked.
Right.
And you know, I'm fine with that. The guy is racing for position in the podium at the Long Beach Grand Prix, the second largest IndyCar race.
Right.
You should be allowed to block for that. That creates good racing.
Yeah, it does.
If you're just going to move over and let somebody drive on by you,
if the rule says you can't block,
it's six, one half a dozen the other.
You can't block if that's the case.
Yeah,
got a caller up on the hotline. Let's bring him up here. Let me see. Oh, look at this. Hey, Faithful, what's going on?
Not too bad.
That's
you
good.
You guys are hard to find.
Oh, really?
Holy smokes, man. I don't know what happened to my phone, but my Google bar is saying that you're a risky site.
We're a risky site.
Yeah.
Well, not
so to get on to you, that podcast or whatever.
Yeah.
You download it, and it won't let you listen live. You can only listen to last week's episode.
Oh, really?
You go to the other side of your website, it'll only give you up to last week until you upload tonight's.
But
I got you through Samsung Internet tonight, so we're back listening live.
Good deal. How are things going out there?
Nice, beautiful, 20 degrees, ready to hit the track.
You got to love it. It's not going to be long, and the cars will be flying around there, Kent.
I hope so. So what did you think of that Michigan race last night?
Richmond. Richmond was really, really good. And I'll tell you what, our next two guests that are coming up right on the other side of the break, Donald Teige was in the Xfinity race. Did you catch that race?
No, I fell asleep for the Xfinity race.
Well, he finished 25th, and you're going to be able to hear from him. And then, of course, Cole Pern, crew chief for Martin Truex, is going to join us live tonight, too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, going back a couple of weeks, and they were talking about the qualifying procedures for NASCAR. And it was like 3 weeks or maybe a month ago now, and there was one there. They were coming out for qualifying.
Yeah.
They all came down at the end of the exit of pit road. There was cars on the inside. There was cars in the middle. There was cars on the outside. Whoever couldn't get out. And they all sat there, and they all pulled out on track, and they all didn't make a time.
Right.
So therefore, and it was in for the top 12. So then they went back and took their time from round two.
Right.
I think the easiest way to solve those qualifying buggers, because I like the qualifying.
Right.
But I just don't like them is if you pull out of your pit box.
Right.
Because they're in their pit box. If you pull out of your pit box, you have to maintain rolling onto the track. You're not allowed to stop on pit road.
Right.
And the other thing is if you do stop on pit road, or if you do not, in any particular session, make a lap and get back to a green flag before you, so you can take a time.
Right.
Instead of qualifying on your round previous time.
Right.
That should be penalized to you, and you go to the back of the pack.
And go right to the rear. Yep. Yeah, well, you know what?
Yeah, I guarantee you there'd be nobody sitting at the end of, on a lot of these tracks that they're doing it, there'd be nobody sitting at the end of pit road.
There wouldn't be, but if you're still fearful of the draft and you still don't want to give anybody an advantage, you're going to have 40 guys or you're going to have 20 guys, whatever the number may be, whoever left their pit box, you're going to have those guys rolling around on the track at a quarter or eighth of a speed. You know, because they don't want to kill their tires.
But they're qualifying anyways for the super speedways.
Right.
Single car qualifying.
I'm talking, and I forget, I think it was Las Vegas, because the last 2 weeks of qualifying before this week, we couldn't watch it.
Yeah,
right.
I couldn't find out what time it was on.
Right.
Between the other sports, and now you got basketball and hockey playoffs and all that stuff on, so we're surely not going to see it for the next month.
Right.
But on those ones, at those intermediate tracks, where they're coming out, sitting at the end of pit road, like I say, all you have to do is state, when you pull out of your box, you have to maintain rolling until you hit the track, and if at any of those times that you don't, take a time, so all that one's going to do is make sure that they go on track before, if they need 55 seconds or 60 seconds or whatever to get back to get the green flag.
Yeah, I didn't catch...
The one about staying in your pit box, that's what's going to get them not stopping at pit road.
Yeah. I didn't catch qualifying this time. Did you, Junior? Did you catch it this week?
Yeah, I watched a couple qualifying.
And everybody was good?
Well, yeah, the draft doesn't come into play at Bristol or Richmond.
That's right. Yeah, yeah.
So the next time that they roll into the big track, a mile and a half track, a Kansas or a Chicago or Charlotte or whatever, the next time they roll into an intermediate track, you're going to see a change. I don't know what that's going to be yet. They shortened it to 5 minutes at Richmond, so you needed to go.
Right.
There was no holding back. And I think that if you maintain that, it's a short-term fix. But still, you're going to have groups, and you're going to have guys who don't want to be with the other guys. And I still think that it's going to be a jumbled-up mess because you don't want to create that. So
if somebody don't start improving their driving skills,
yeah,
qualifying don't mean nothing anyway because Kyle Busch wins every race.
He didn't win this week.
No, but
he was up there to the end.
Hell yeah, he was. But
Martin Truex did a masterful job. You watched the Cup race last night, right?
The majority of it. I was flipping between it and hockey, and admittedly basketball too, but I was disappointed with that at supper time.
You tell me that you, please tell me you caught the end of the cup race.
Yes, I caught it, but when I turned back to it, when I left, the last time I left it, Kyle Busch was in the lead, and when I left, or when I come back, Truex was already in the lead with 10 to go.
Yeah. Amazing. It was, that to me, that was the best race of the year so far. But, Kent, we're right up alongside a break, buddy. We sure appreciate the call.
All right, boys.
You betcha. We'll catch up with you soon. That is Kent out on the East Coast. We are going to hit this break. When we come back, we got Donald Teague going to join us.
Hi, this is John Vance, driver number 95 for Danny Gill, and you're listening to Racetime Radio.
You're listening to Canada Talks on Sirius XM, channel 167.
Discover a place where the sun and the tunes are shining bright.
This is Jimmy Buffett, and whether I'm traveling by land, by sea, or by air, Radio Margaritaville is my soundtrack.
Immerse yourself in a mix of Jimmy's favorite island music, commercial-free rock, reggae, folk, and live concerts to transport you to an instant warm weather vacation.
It's Radio Margaritaville.
Channel 24 and on the Sirius XM app.
If you're a Springsteen fan, you just found the promised land. Hear rare interviews and performances. Live concerts.
Is there anybody alive out there?
Celebrity guest DJs.
This is Rob Lowe.
Hey, baby, it's Little Steven here.
And more exclusives when listening to Bruce Springsteen's channel.
Welcome, Bruce Springsteen, to E Street Radio, your home away from home.
Great to be here.
E Street Radio, Sirius XM, Channel 20.
Potato, hot potato. Everyone has a great time on Canada Talks, even the Wiggles.
Well, I think that's what Anthony was saying. I think the idea of the Wiggles itself as a kind of platform really reaches everything. We're able to have opportunities with people that we never even dreamt of before.
Canada Talks, Sirius XM Channel 167, and on demand with the Sirius XM app.
MAP TV, the only network dedicated to all things motorsports, is racing across Canada now. The only network destination of all things motorsports. MAP TV offers every type of motorsports racing. With grassroots racing events from across the country and around the world, MAP TV's programming schedule is truly second to none. MAP TV Canada, contact your TV provider for availability now.
Taking you all the way to the track.
And back.
It's Race Time Radio.
Sirius XM 167.
And we're back with you live tonight on Racetime Radio, and we are going to, quick like a bunny junior, get back to the hotline. What do you think? That's a good idea, isn't it?
It is.
Yeah.
And the guy who we're going to talk to is pretty fired up.
Is he ever?
He's always fired up. Every time I talk to him, he's fired up, but he's a good cat.
You want to believe it. On the weekend, on Saturday, no, Friday. See?
Friday night.
Everything
they
got
screwed
moved.
It up. When you move it one day, it screws you right up.
Well, it does me right in. But on Friday night, our next guest was the pilot of the number 36 in the NASCAR Xfinity Series. He is from Bourgeois, Quebec, and his name is Donald Teague. He's with us now on the hotline. Donald, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, good evening, guys.
Yeah, man, you had a great weekend. You did a good job behind the wheel of that car. How was it?
You know, I don't think I did a great job. I made a mistake at the beginning of the race for the first pit stop. We got a penalty when I touched the orange line, and that's caused a lot of trouble for us for the rest of the race. We should be, you know, probably top 21 or 20 if we had no penalty on that night. But, you know, we got to live with it.
that's the thing. And, Donald, you can't be too hard on yourself here. It was only your second race of the year, and it was your fourth race ever in Xfinity. There's a lot to pick up on in a short period of time.
Yeah, I know that. But, you know, I was expected more at Vegas when we did the 19th time on the practice, and we made a mistake on the race. So I asked Mario to come back on the Xfinity race as soon as possible, and he gave me the opportunity to race at Richmond. And Richmond is that small track that we use brake and a lot of acceleration on the corner, so that's the kind of track that I like. And I will. I said to Mario, I accept his challenge. And well, you know, we finished 25, but I think we can be better if we had no penalty on that night. But you know, after the mid of the race for the second segment, Mario did a great adjustment on the car, and he told me that we were the same time that the position 10 or 11 are running. So we had a good car, and you know, beginning the second segment.
Donald, can you imagine if you were able to put like 10, 12, 13 races back-to-back and get into a groove? Can you imagine how strong you would be behind the wheel of that car? I can just imagine.
You know, I would like to do it because I like that series. And, you know, when we came in the new series, nobody knew you. They don't know you on the track either, on outside of the track. So we got to know each other, each stuff. And, you know, I got to respect those guys. They're running for the championship. So when you fight with them, you cannot touch him. Because, you know, they need points, they need money. So, you got to be careful with that. And, you know, every time I get on the track, I was a little bit, you know, not wreck the car like I did at Vegas was, so in my mind for Richmond. So I was very carefully with, with everything I did on the track, but I think, we did, a good job.
Donald, the last couple of years has definitely been a whirlwind for you as a driver. You've turned a tremendous amount of laps in short track auto racing for a number of years. I don't know when you got your start. When did you get your start?
You know, I started 35 years ago.
35.
I'm so old right now against, you know, those rookie. Every time I go to the rookie meeting at the Xfinity race, I see those kids, they are younger than my older daughters. So it's funny for me.
Absolutely.
You know, it's very funny for me, but they're great. They're great driver. You know, they do a lot of simulator, and they got a lot of practice, and that's not the way we used to run before, but I've been in that business since 35 years.
Gotcha. So looking back on that, I know you've been a staple up here in Canada and you know, on the Quebec side, ACT, even down into the northern United States for a long period of time. But looking at the last couple of years, really, you know, the last 3 years, where you've taken a big swing on more of the national side here in Canada, obviously with the NASCAR Pinty Series, and as well in the Xfinity Series, it's got to be a whirlwind for you. You got to be having the time of your life, and not only, you know, driving and not only being there and being a part of it, but a full-on contender now, week in and week out in the Pinty Series, and as well, really posting great numbers in the Pinty Series or in the Xfinity Series. That's got to be a lot of fun for you personally, and I kind of want to hear your side of it and kind of what your plans are moving forward, because it's all tracks on going forward here.
Yeah, you know, that's a great moment for me since the last 3 years when. I talked with Scott 3 years ago to do a couple of races of Penske series, like Valley Junction, and we went to Newcastle Kawarda, and we did good results. You know, the year after, I asked him to be his driver only for the oval, and we did good result again. And last year, we decided to do the all series, and this year, we're going to do the all series too. But you know, it's a great moment for me on my career. And I should have that money before, so that should me help me, you know, when I was younger. But you know, we got to take that time right now. And you know, I know it's almost the end for me, maybe in a couple of years because it's tough. You know, I was talking with Mario and all my crew this weekend. I'm still working every day on my three dealerships, so I got to be focused on my business, and on the weekend go on the racing. That's tough, you know. Those kind of kids, they don't have to bother about money or working on a Monday night. That's what I have to do every week. So it's very tough for me right now. But I enjoy the moment I'm living right now. I know it's kind of a gift for me to run at my age, an Xfinity race and a Penske series right now. So I, if I can do it a couple of years again, I would do it for sure.
I tell you what, when I seen the emotion of you getting out of that car at Saskatoon this year, you look like a 17-year-old kid jumping out of that car, just so you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course. You know, I was so proud of that win. I told Scott when I engaged myself to his team, I just want to race to win a race in the Penske series. I want to be the oldest guy in that series to win a race. And that's what we did in Saskatoon last year.
Absolutely. Looking at 2019 now, of course, the releases came out. You're going to be back full-time in the Penske series. Kind of give yourself a scorecard. Last year was your first full-time season, right, Donald? Or was it?
Yep.
It was your first full-time.
Yeah, it was the first time last year.
So looking at 2019, obviously you were lights out fast at a couple of the really high momentum tracks on the oval side. You ran relatively strong at some of the bullring style racetracks. What's your kind of your report card of last season, kind of self-grading, and where do you got to make improvements for, you know, to make yourself happy rolling into 2019?
Oh, you know, that question is so easy. For us, it's going to be the road racing. We need to make good points on the road racing, especially at Motorsport and Toronto. I know we can do, good race at Three River. That's what we did last year. We finished seventh. But Motorsport and Ontario is going to be very tough race, and we need to make good points up there. Because every time a championship has been won, that's especially from road racing guys, you know, like Dumoulin, Alex Labbé, Andrew Unger, and all those guys won the championships because they quick and they fast on the road racing. So our challenge this year is going to be quick on the road racing race.
Absolutely.
I know the Penske's car is probably all the difference in the world compared to an Xfinity car, but on a racetrack like you were on Friday night, Richmond International, what you take away from Richmond? Is that going to help your Penske's program at a place like Jukasa?
Oh, of course. You know, the speed that we made at Richmond was fabulous. And, racing between those walls was very great, too. So it's going to help us for Jukasa and those kind of track for sure. And, starting the season early that we can do, right now is going to help us too. You know, we're going to do the test D at Motorsport at the end of the month. But we're still running in our mind. We're ready right now with the result we got from Richmond and being on the race car early that weekend. So it's going to help us for sure at the end of the month to be ready for the test D at Motorsport.
Just don't use the brake pedal like you do at Richmond in a Penske's car. You'd be out by lap five, eh?
Yeah. Yeah.
I bet that's got to be the most fun part of jumping from a Penske's car, even into a late model or into an Xfinity car, is just having a brake pedal again.
Oh yeah, of course. You know, like at Vegas, we didn't touch the brake very hard on the corner. It was my first time to run those kind of tracks. And it was very tough for me the first time, but we get used to. But I prefer, small track when we use brakes and good acceleration in the corner.
Man, Mario Gosselin, enough cannot be said about the job that he does with DGM and everything that he's doing down south. You know, we see Mario Gosselin up here. He's been part of championships. He's, brought drivers along and done some real big things here in Canada. But not enough, I don't think, is said for Mario Gosselin and what he's doing down south of the border. And you'd be a good guy to ask the question, too. I see Mario, and I know Mario, and I talk to him up here. He's a pretty relaxed guy. What's he like in the garage area in an Xfinity race? Because I know he's got so much to do down there. Is he as relaxed down there as he is up here?
You know, Mario is doing miracle on that series. He's doing that with four or five guys. You know, at the track we were on, he bring only four guys, and I bring three of my guys too. So he's always relaxed, and he's always thinking about racing. And, on the second segment, he asked me twice on a second summit, Donald, what we can do on the car to be better, what you like the car, what we can change it. You know, he always ready to race, and what he's doing on the Xfinity Series, especially what he did with Alex Labbe last year and being a top 10, top 20 finish at the end, that's a miracle. You know, they only small group of guys, and they love racing, and Mario, you know, like Xfinity races, so he's doing a miracle with that series for sure, guys.
Yeah, he sure is. A miracle, and knowing Mario the way, like, I've known him now for probably 15, 18 years, and, you know, when he was a racer, when he was behind the wheel of that truck and, you know, his late model stuff, Mario Gosselin was a real, real tough customer to beat. When you rolled into a racetrack, if Gosselin was there, look out, you had your work cut out for you. And, you know, it's kind of cool to see where he is today and what he's doing. I just wish there was some corporate Canada would notice what DGM is doing and lock something in and really put an effort behind it, because I'm sure we could have a Canadian competitive team down in that down south with everything that's going on. I know we could put something on the racetrack that is super competitive. If they had the funding, it would be interesting, wouldn't it?
Of course, if Mario can find money and a good group of people who can think and work like him, is going to be fantastic for a Canadian team. Mario's is a great guy. He's talking always racing, and believe me, if he can get more money, he's going to be faster than what he's doing right now.
Yeah, pretty amazing. All we can do is cross our fingers and pray to God that something comes down the line to see Alex Labbe, Mario, to see you into a car more often would be amazing. And all we can do is hope. But good part is, up here in Canada, we're going to see you in the NASCAR Pindy Series, hooked up with 22 Racing. This is going to be an exciting year. You got your eye on that big trophy at the end. Are you going to go for the title, or are you just going to go out for wins? What's your plan?
You know, I was talking only for win at the beginning of this year, but right now, I'm thinking that if we can, you know, get good points and very good finish at the road racing, we can be on the podium at the end of the season, a top three. We'll be fine with us. We got a team to do it. Scott is a great guy. He got a good car. All those cars are very prepared. You know, every time we go on a race, so. And I got a good team on my side too. But if we can have good finish on a road race, I think, you know, we're going to be a good challenger for the end. We know on the oval we can make some points. We can win a race, maybe one, two, or three races this year, because we got a momentum at the end of the season. And we should win at Jakarta once. You know, we finished twice second, and this year maybe is going to be our year. And why not? We should start with a win at Jakarta. You know, the first oval race this year is going to put us on, you know, on a good momentum and keep going for the rest of the season.
For what it's worth, I have to say, and this is a big compliment to you, as a spotter, watching you and watching you on the racetrack behind a guy who I'm spotting for, you have to be the most unpredictable guy, but the cleanest racer that I've seen. But the runs that you create are some of the coolest things to watch. I've seen you do a couple of things, you know, where it looks like you're going to, you know, just ride the corner and be two car lengths off, you know, behind the car. But then coming off, you come off like Jack the Bear somehow, and all of a sudden you're up beside. And it's something that, you know, crafty, wily veterans always have that ability to create runs and create traction. But it's something to be seen, and I challenge everybody that watches a Pinty's race on an oval to watch for that out of you. It's a lot of fun to watch. You're a great competitor, and a lot of fun to spot against you. And you definitely give me a couple of gray hairs, but just a lot of fun to watch.
Thank you for your comments.
Yeah, incredible. I know I was at that last Jakarta race at the end of the season, the championship night where LP Dumoulin took the title away. And I'll tell you what, Donald Teach, I was watching you throughout the course of that race, I thought, wow, here he goes. He's going to win at Newcastle, because you were lights out quick at that race.
Yeah, but, you know, I think that night was DJ night. He was winning that win since long time, so he was quick. And, you know, when I fight with him side by side or behind him, I just be, you know, a good challenger. I didn't touch him, and I respect a lot DJ, so he respect me too. So, you know, that night was DJ night. It's going to be our night, maybe the first one. I think every night that I got to win at the Newcastle, and I think this is going to be this year for sure.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome, I can guarantee you. With you back in the series this year and everything that's stacking up for the NASCAR Pindy Series, it's going to be a dynamite season for race fans. Donald, we appreciate your time as always on Racetime Radio, and congratulations on a great Xfinity race. And I know we all can't wait to see you here in the NASCAR Pindy Series.
Hey, thanks a lot for your time, guys.
You betcha. That's Donald Tiche, driver of the 36 on the weekend for Xfinity. But you're going to see him in that number 24, right? Is it number 24 or is it 22?
What?
It is the 20.
In the Pindy Series?
Yeah, in the Pindy Series.
No, he's the 24.
24.
24. The 22 is Marc-Antoine Cameron.
That's right.
The thing that screws you up with that is it's called 22 Racing because, of course, it's Steckley.
That's right.
But then he has the 24 and he has the 18. But they still, it's 22 Racing. The name, for me, I never call it 22 Racing.
No.
And I don't mean to. Like, it's just the way that it is. It's Steckley.
Steckley Racing.
Team.
Yep.
It's Steckley Racing.
Yeah.
To me, that's it'll always be that way. And the only reason for that is because I would get confused if it's a 24 or the 18. I would always go to the 22 in my mind.
Yeah, you would.
Come on, Steck.
Okay.
22 sticker being on a 24 car just doesn't look right.
No, it looks like too many numbers. Okay, we're going to hit this break. When we come back, how about a winning crew chief from last night at Richmond International Raceway? We got Cole Pern going to join us on the other side of the break. Stay there.
Hey, it's Ken Cunning from Scotia Speed World in Halifax, and you're listening to Racetime Radio.
MAP TV, the only network dedicated to all things motorsports, is racing across Canada now. The only network destination of all things motorsports. MAP TV offers every type of motorsports racing. With grassroots racing events from across the country and around the world, MAP TV's programming schedule is truly second to none. MAP TV Canada. Contact your TV provider for availability now.
Men, Morning Men.
Hi, I'm Evan Cohen, and I'm Mike Babchak. We were given 30 seconds to describe our show, Morning Men, on Mad Dog Sports Radio, so I'll ask you some questions, and you give me the answers. What do we do for fun?
You? Go to the diner with your family. Me? I drink and forget I have a family.
Biggest crush?
You? Tom Brady.
Me?
Anyone in yoga pants.
What do we want to do more of?
You? Talk about what happened the night before in the world of sports.
Me?
I would like to do more of my wife. I think we just ran out of time.
Morning Men, 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern, Mad Dog Sports Radio, Sirius XM 82, and the Sirius XM app.
New to Sirius XM, it's Faction Talk.
Whoa, cut it out.
Lucky us, what a time to be alive.
Mornings with Jim Norton and Sam Roberts.
I get tweets every day about how terrible my co-host is, but I don't listen to him.
Absolutely, because I'm the one sending them.
That's Jim Norton and Sam Roberts.
Hot takes on hot topics.
That's right, no slough it off on this radio show.
Live Monday through Friday from 8 to 11 a.m. Eastern, only on Faction Talk, Sirius XM 103. Or listen on demand with the Sirius XM app.
Here's what you missed on NHL Game Day.
Scotty Bowman joins us. When you were coaching a team, was it important to kind of move a piece out, move a piece in, just to kind of keep it fresh, to bring in guys who hadn't won before?
I think winning a championship, it's very difficult to make changes. It'd be always good if you could add a piece or two without disturbing the chemistry of the team, which was not easy.
NHL Game Day on Sirius XM NHL Network Radio. Sirius XM 91.
Racetime Radio is fueled by BP Race Fuels, the worldwide leader in race fuel technology. Dawson Dental Centers. Get your victory lane smile at DawsonDental.ca.
More Short Track Live, coast to coast, next.
Only on Racetime Radio.
Everyone wants to be on Canada Talks, including Oprah Winfrey.
The biggest step is the first one. And before the biggest step is the decision to take it. You know, I think Everything happens when you decide. And once you decide, the universe arranges itself in alignment with that decision.
Don't miss a second. Canada Talks, SiriusXM Channel 167, and on demand with the SiriusXM app.
If you've got the need for speed,
they're racing door to door in turn four,
then you've come to the right place.
It's Race Time Radio
with your host, Joe Chisholm.
We are back with you live tonight. Ked bringing us back for our final break of the night. But I'll tell you what, some exciting stuff. If you missed last night's NASCAR Monster Energy Cup race from Richmond, I'll tell you what, you missed what I'm calling, and I imagine there's a million people that'll back me up on this, probably the best race so far in 2019. And our next guest had a lot to do with what happened on that racetrack last night. He is the crew chief for the number 19 Toyota of Martin Truex Jr. We have Cole Pern with us. Cole, what's going on, buddy? Congratulations.
Oh, not much. Thanks for having me on. Yeah, it was a good night.
Incredible, to say the least. That was a nail-biter to the very end, and I know you would have been chewing on those nails, too, sitting on that pit box watching that last 15, 20 laps.
Yeah, I thought more than a few times we were done for, and, you know, Martin managed to find something to work and get back away or hold them off. So definitely, once it got down to the end, I was still in doubt. Until he really came off turn four going to the checkers, for sure.
Yeah, amazing. When I seen Joey Logano get by Martin, I said to Junior, we're sitting there watching the race last night, I said, oh, no, Martin, he's done now. Joey's in front of him. And Junior says, oh, hang on. And all of a sudden, Martin pulls back up on the outside and got him back. I went, oh, my God, this guy, he's got it tonight.
Yeah, it was kind of those, that top 10 was, everybody was really equal last night. So it was just kind of where you were in the run. You know, if you were, if you used it up a bit too early, you struggled later. And I think it was, kind of the difference when people were coming and going all night. So, yeah, we were fortunate enough to just kind of stay up with it all night. It wasn't pretty by any means. I don't think we've had a lot better cars there than we had last night, but found a way to grind it out.
Obviously, you've been affiliated with Gibbs for the last couple of years now, but now working under that roof, that's got to be a big moment for that to get the first win out of the way. You've had a couple of good runs throughout the season so far, but really rolling into this weekend, getting your first short track win, two short track guys paired up, really three short track guys. Your spotter is a short track guy at heart too, but getting that crossed off at the same time, it's crossing off a lot of things, a lot of numbers on a lot of lists.
Yeah, for sure. Getting the monkey off the back with the short track thing, you know, we've been so close here over the last few years, and to finally get it done is good. And then, like you said, just getting the first win for being in JGR is a good feeling. You know, everybody, they moved a lot of people around and made a lot of room to bring us in, and, you know, you want to be able to deliver. So getting that one and getting to go to victory lane with them was really cool.
Cole, how much pressure do you guys put on yourselves? Probably more than Joe Gibbs would put on you. But how much pressure packed has this season been to start out with? Any more than any other season?
Yeah, I'd say a little bit. I mean, I don't know. It's hard to say. I think you always put pressure on yourself. But for sure, just coming in a new situation and just knowing what the expectations are and being able to deliver, you definitely want to be able to do that. But, I think we've been way harder on ourselves than everybody above us. You know, I think coach has probably called me once a week just to give a pep talk when I probably needed it. Kind of give you a little bit of a tap into the type of leader he is and just, how good a person he is that, you know, kind of pick you up when you didn't even know you needed to be picked up. And I guess that's what good leadership is.
T-
talk about the differences, Cole. You know, everybody from up here has got their eyes glued on you. I know you're still with the same driver, same spotter, and everything's going and clicking along. But talk about the differences working from, you know, out in Colorado to now working in the hub in North Carolina. The differences between the two race teams, you know, kind of, are they subtle or are they drastic?
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty different. You know, obviously working at a lot bigger company now. What we had in Colorado was kind of unique from the standpoint that we had, you know, we had a lot of the resources of the big teams, but we didn't have a lot of people. So it was, you know, a really fun, loose environment. And not to say that it's not that way at GGR, but, you know, they got like 600 employees. So it's a lot bigger place. You know, you got a lot more people to keep up with and you know, being part of a four-car organization is a lot different in that regard too. You know, you gotta work with your teammates on things. But you know, fortunate enough to have great teammates that I've had experience with over the last few years. So I think while it's a shift, you know, I think going anywhere else would have been way harder and way more of a shift. So while it's not the same, it's you know, it's as good as it could be, I think.
And you can't go skiing on a Tuesday. That's a big difference,
no,
right? Because you used to strap boards on and go.
Yeah, that part's been hard. You know, definitely. You know, moving to North Carolina's been not what we had planned on in our lives, but here we are. So, you know, we're doing the best we can with it, and you know, making the most of it. But you know, for sure, we miss Colorado. There's not going to deny that.
Well, that's what they make holidays for, which you guys don't get, Cole. I know you don't get any holidays.
I got one this week, at least. So.
Oh, that's right, too. Yeah, so you get a little time off. Are you going to come home? Are you going to come back up to Canada and visit, or are you going to stay down there?
We're going out to Western Canada. We're going to fly to Calgary on Tuesday and see some friends and get some late-season skiing in. So, yeah, looking forward to always get this time of year. I got a hankering and really missing back home. So looking forward to getting back to Canada.
You know, Cole, it's kind of interesting. Last week we had Matt Robley on, and towards the end of the show we started talking and kind of reflecting back into the past. You know, back in the day, kind of the big names to watch at Delaware Speedway were always Ron Sheridan, Steve Robley, and as well Dion Verhoeven. All three of their kids are now racing at Delaware Speedway, but we're missing a Pern and an Erlen. So just so you know, those names are still missing in late model racing at Delaware Speedway. So you need to get on that.
I think for Jonathan and me, I think our kids are a little bit away from that. I don't know about that. I'm not really ready to wrap my head around that far quite yet. So, my schedule right now, thinking about going racing on the side is pretty far away from it. So, who knows? Maybe, never say never, but
I hear you.
Wouldn't hold your breath.
Yeah, look at that. Finally, Cole gets the pressure relieved. Martin wins last night. Now you started adding more pressure.
Look at that, more pressure. You're welcome, buddy.
Yeah. Incredible. Yeah, of course, things are going to get real up here in Canada, too. We got a good season coming up. Have you been one eye sort of overseeing what's happening up here? We got lots coming up.
Yeah, for sure. You know, kind of stay up with it as much as I can, and then it's always good. You know, always fortunate enough to see Canadians, you know, come and make the trip. Got to see, you know, some old friends. Got to see Dave Whitlock couple times over the last few races, which is good, and you know, I got to see Ron and Jake and the Sheridan boys in Florida, so that was good. And you know, I think that's the nice thing about the racing community is everybody kind of makes it to a race, so I don't necessarily get to anything back home, but in a way you stay in touch with it just by talking to people and seeing people throughout the season.
Yeah, I can well imagine, like all of us here in Canada are watching what you're doing every single week. It's just been amazing to watch the progression and to see how well you guys have adapted to the new race team. What do you think, Cole, we're going to see when it comes time for qualifying after Talladega and we get back to that mile and a half track?
Oh, you're putting him on the
sure.
spot here.
Well, you got him.
You got to put him on the spot here. Let's go. I want to hear this. I'm excited.
I think single car is coming. I mean, man, those Fridays this year have been hard to take. I don't know what they've necessarily looked like on TV or for the fans, but for the race team side, it's not been very much fun. You know, it's hard to, you put all your work into it all week, and then it's, you know, you're subjected to how things shake out for you in the draft and qualifying, and that's just kind of crazy to, you know, and hard to take. So it was, at the end of the day, I mean, single car at least fair, and maybe not exciting, but I don't think everybody sitting at the end of pit road waiting to go and draft is that exciting either. So just for some random shakeout. So that's just it's an unfortunate thing with this new package we got, but you know, they've been down that road in truck and Xfinity when they did it and had to go to single car, but for some reason they decided they needed to reinvent the wheel in the Cup Series.
Yeah.
Go down and make the same mistakes. So, but whatever. I think single car is probably not that far away.
You know what? I'm really glad to hear you say that, because I've been saying, take us back to single car. I know, you know, are people going to be affected? Well, truth be known, Cole, I would say that there isn't that many people that are queued in on qualifying like we are. Like Junior and I don't miss qualifying. We love
racers,
it.
Yeah.
But I'll tell you what. I agree with you wholeheartedly. When you talk about fair, single car run has got to be the one. And I know it may not be as exciting, but it is exciting if you're a true race fan and you can show any appreciation for what that crew has done to prepare that car to get out on the track and post a good time. I think single car is the way to go. It was the way to go for a lot of years. I'm a firm believer, and it's got to come back, and I'm glad that when you guys do get back to the track at Talladega, at least it's going to be single car there. Hopefully, NASCAR will see their way clear to put it back to single car.
Yeah, I hope so. I think you hit the nail on the head there. I mean, I think the people that are watching are true race fans, and true race fans understand that side of it. So, you know, I don't know. I mean, we live in a weird world of, you know, we got TV people and we got all these, you know, interested parties that run and say it, and it's I don't know, at the end of the day it's still cars going in a circle, and you can't try and dress it up too much more than it is.
Absolutely. Looking at Talladega now, of course, Daytona was the old rules package. This is going to be the first time seeing the newer rules package at a super speedway for this time out. Talk a little bit about what you think that we're going to see from Talladega. Obviously, it's going to be a bunch of cars going fast in a circle, but what do you think we're going to see differences, you know, from Daytona to Talladega?
Yeah, it'll be interesting. They've had to work on a lot to slow them down. I'm not sure what they were thinking at first, but you know, we're gonna have more power than we've had on the speedways, but at the same time, we're gonna have way more drag and way more downforce. So I think you know, handling wise, shouldn't be as big of a concern. You know, the cars are gonna be a lot more stuck than they have been at those tracks. But in the same sense, the drag bubble is gonna be going to be really apparent. So I don't know. I think you're going to see opportunity for maybe a lot more pushing, maybe, and a lot more you know, kind of bump and push kind of things where you can use each other to get runs. I don't think it'll be quite back to the tandem deal, but definitely going to be a little bit more that way than how it has been on the speedways.
Will they suck up as well, do you figure? Or do you figure that there's going to be like a massive air bubble out front?
I think you'll suck up more than what we have. You know, having more power and having more drag, it's going to be, you know, definitely with that big blade on it, there's going to be more of an opportunity to suck up than there has been before.
So still in the pack style, right? Like 30, 40 cars in a pack in a lump? Or do you think that's going to be spread out a bit?
No, I think it will be for sure. It's hard to say. I don't know. I think it's going to be somewhere in between the, you know, what we had when we had the tandem deal and what we have now. So it's a little bit of a guess. You know, I think they've only done one test with three cars out there in this rules package. So it's a little bit of an unknown. We just for us we'll work on it the same way we do every week to, you know, try and make sure we got, you know, good handling and that side of things and good speed in it, and then just kind of see how it shakes out. It'll be a learning experience for everybody.
It's going to be dynamite. I can guarantee it. Cole, it was awesome this weekend watching you guys. I'm a little biased. I kind of like that team that you guys are with. The 19 team is one I always key in on and watch. And for good reason, you're on top of the box. It was dynamite watching that race. Clint Bowyer, man, he was so quick. I kind of thought he was going to be there, but to see Martin hang on and do what he did, he must have been whacked when he got out of that car, because I'll tell you what, he drove his butt off.
Yeah, I mean, that's when you don't have the best car and you can grind it out and win, it's a good feeling for sure. He did everything right and managed to stay up there, and it was our pit crew has been a struggle point for us this year, and they've been working really hard, and it was a big night for them, and really was key to getting us the
tracks
we needed.
Well, Mike James is a good friend of mine. He's out at Eastbound International Speedway, takes care of a lot of stuff out at Eastbound, and I'll tell you what, he is a Martin Truex Cole fan through and through. It was his birthday yesterday, and you guys won. He was lights out in a Molson's tent somewhere, and he was just coming off the chip. You made his day.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, that's great. If the Leafs had won and the Raptors had won, it would have been a lot better day, but that didn't happen. So at least we got to victory lane.
Well, we sure appreciate your time as always here on Racetime Radio, Cole. It was super to catch up with you tonight. Have a good holiday out in Calgary there. Are the Leafs coming out? Are they playing Calgary? Is that why you're going out there?
No, poor planning on my part. They're in Toronto next week, so probably should have came home, but didn't really think that one through.
That was the worst question. The Leafs are in the playoffs for like the first time in 100 years.
Oh, are they in the playoffs?
Yeah. And they're playing. Wow, that was awesome.
Honestly,
it proves how much we are into racing only. Like racing only. Our studio is literally 2 hours north of Toronto. And we are into racing only. The only reason why I know that they're in the playoffs because I live on Twitter, basically. But, I mean, I'm not a hockey guy. I never have been. Racing in my blood. But that was funny as hell. That was one of the funniest things I've ever heard.
And I swear on a...
Might get roasted on Twitter for that one.
Well, I'll swear on a stack of Bibles, I did not know
are
the Leafs are in the playoffs. I
That's
did not
awesome.
Know that.
No, I
honest
love it.
To God.
I love it. You're a racer.
Incredible. Anyway, Cole, you have a good trip out in Calgary, and I know we look forward to watching you guys at Talladega. Continued success, and look forward to the next time we can get you back on here.
Awesome. Thanks a lot, guys. Have a good night.
You bet. That's Cole Pern, crew chief for Martin Truex Jr. that went to Victory Lane at Richmond last night. Dynamite stuff.
I love it. That's funny.
Oh,
that's,
man. I'm floored. I did not know the Leafs were in the playoffs.
It's awesome. No, and to be honest with you, it doesn't matter because racing, drop the puck, you know,
yes.
Pack the puck. It's time to go racing.
Well, no,
that's the way it is for me.
No, hey, look, it's big times. If the Leafs are in the playoffs, that's big time. And I really feel disappointed that I missed
it doesn't matter.
That thing.
Racing.
But, hopefully they go all the way.
Racing's greater than hockey.
Well, I know.
For me.
I'm gonna.
If
have
that's
to,
the way it is for me.
I'm gonna have to watch a Leaf game now.
They're probably out now.
Well,
I don't even know the score. Or
yeah.
I don't know. I don't know where they're at.
But. Is it like a best of series right yet, or are they?
Yeah, well,
are they at that point?
It's a playoff.
No. Well, is it a one and done?
I don't know.
Well, we'll find out.
Let's talk about Talladega.
Yes.
Let's talk about the first APC race.
Yes.
We're game on for any of that.
Well, you know what? We got some news coming up. I can't share it just yet, but I'll tell you what. Short track race fans here in Canada, you're going to be happy because Racetime Radio's got more races to do. I can't tell you where and when yet. But I can tell you that there is going to be more races live on Racetime Radio this year than we've had in a long, long time. So that is all good news. But I got to tell you, we're up at the end of the show. I can't believe how fast these 2 hours go. Well, pretty well 2 hours, right?
Yeah, it's 2 hours long. That's how fast they go. Yep.
But
120
you know
minutes.
That is going to do it for Junior and I here in the Racetime Radio studio. I want to thank Susie Q right here in the RTR studio for hooking us up with everybody. Got to thank all of our guests tonight. Michael Self, Chris Hughes, Phil Fowler, Donald Teige, and, of course, Cole Pern. We just heard from him. If you missed the show, get to iTunes. You can have a listen to it. And I got to thank the guys back in Toronto at the SiriusXM studio for getting us on the air. Thanks, everybody. You have a good, safe week, and we'll catch you back here next week. Same time, same channel, right here. We'll see you
Maple
then.
Maple Leafs who?
Yeah.
Thanks for listening to Racetime Radio. Visit us on the web at www.racetimeradio.com. Or leave a message on our 24-hour listener hotline, 1-888-5-RACETIME. That's 1-888-572-2384. We hope you'll join us again next time for more Racetime Radio.
Come on now, dig.
Exclusively on your home for the hardcore race fan.
Excellent, buddy, excellent.